You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based grief and loss podcast for Black women, where you will hear stories of miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and infertility to learn there is a testimony in tragedy. You will learn how to heal, gain clarity, find hope and peace, and turn your pain into your purpose after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee. Welcome to episode 57 of the Sisters in Loss podcast. In today's episode, we have Janae Hopgood-Jones, who shares her IVF journey and loss of twins due to PPROM and how adoption chose her for motherhood. Janae and her partner have been trying to conceive for 4 years. They decided in February 2017 to do a round of IVF and were able to conceive their twin daughters on the first round. They lost their twins due to premature rupture of the membranes. And in this episode, we talk about her healing journey and how she chose her path to motherhood through adoption. She is an angel mom of her two beautiful twin daughters, Avia and Jora, and she's a wife, a blogger, a therapist, a professor, and a clinical sexologist. This episode is for you to listen to if you have experienced PPROM and maybe on the fence about adoption as your path to motherhood. Here is Janae Jones. Well, thank you, Janae, for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, good.
So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, well, that's kind of a loaded question. my name is Janae. I have 1,000 jobs, unfortunately, but I do a lot of things. In my day job, I work for a managed care organization, and I just investigate fraud, waste, and abuse for mental health services. I am also a therapist, and I also am an adjunct professor, so I teach a course there to graduate-level students. And I have a blog, so I do that too on the side. That's my main three.
Awesome. So take us back and tell us about your IVF journey.
Ooh, that was a long one. So first, we started out trying independently, like at home, probably about 4 years ago, maybe even almost 5 years ago. And we decided after about, you know, of trying at home to see the doctor, and we started out with IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. So we did that. We did that for our 6th try, and that was unsuccessful every time. During that time, I had also found out that I had fibroids. So I had to have 2 of them removed. Well, they were only 2 of them, but they were pretty big. Like, one of them was big as a baby's head. And they didn't see that until the IUI stuff with the ultrasound. So I had an MRI and a few other things for them to see where it was. And then I had the surgery to remove them. After that happened, I tried again with IUI once, and that didn't work. So then we switched to IVF. On our first try of IVF, we actually got pregnant with our twins. That was probably about 3 years or so, maybe even 3.5 years into our fertility journey together. So it definitely was a big decision to make, because IVF is not cheap, but it definitely was. It was something that we were able to do, thankfully. And yeah, we conceived our girls on the first try. And actually we implanted 2 embryos, and they both took, and one of them actually split. So there were 3 babies at one point. The one just didn't continue to grow, but Aviva and Jora did. So yeah, unfortunately we lost them, but that's what led up to that point, basically.
So how did you lose the twins?
Yeah, so I would say I was a little over 4 weeks, about 17 weeks pregnant when we lost the girls. And I, probably about a week before everything happened, which was June 6th, I had noticed a little bit of leaking. And I called the doctor about it. So at the time I was teaching a dance class, and I was teaching some people this one dance and this like kind of little gush of fluid. And it wasn't super, super significant, but it was something that I noticed. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Let me call a doctor and ask. I called the nurse, and they kept telling me, lots of things come out of your vagina when you're pregnant. You're probably peeing, you know, whatever. And I was like, that does not feel like urine. I don't think that's what that is. But I hadn't been pregnant before. So I said, okay, I'm just going to follow up. We had an appointment coming up anyway, so I said, I'll just have them check when I go to the next scan. Turns out one of my daughters, Jora, she was originally baby A, who was on the bottom, her sac had ruptured. In her sac rupturing, she then changed places with Aviva, and Aviva was then like right at my cervix and was kind of, I don't know, maybe pressing on it or whatever, so I started to dilate. Mm. And they weren't able to obviously remove Jora because they would end up rupturing Aviva's sac. And they just told me that Jora was not going to really survive it. When we looked at her in the ultrasound, she was almost straight, like she wasn't in the fetal position at all. Mm-hmm. And she really just didn't have a lot of fluid around her. There was a little still there, but it was not going to be something that was going to last. So then we later found out that that is called TPRM, which is preterm premature rupture of membrane. Mm-hmm. Which rupture of membranes, obviously, that's normal. That's what happens when your water breaks. But if it's preterm, then that's any time before it's supposed to. So later found out that was super common with twins. Did not have any idea that was the case. Yeah, that was ultimately the reason that I ended up losing the girls. There wasn't anything genetically abnormal or anything about them, because we had a lot of questions. You know, we were wondering what would cause one sac not to. Was there something going on with Jora that wasn't maybe going on with the Aviva? But that wasn't the case. They were both actually genetically normal. So we still don't to this day have a full explanation on why one of the sacs ruptured. It just seems like something that happens sometimes, and I could speculate, but I don't have a concrete answer.
So did you actually labor, or did they do a C-section yes. on you?
No, I labored. I gave birth to them on June 7th at 9:04 and 9:23 p.m. So my partner and I have a little ritual that we do every Wednesday. They're born on a Wednesday at 9:04 and 9:23. So I pushed those little babies out, and I held them on my chest, and I kept them with me overnight, and they lived for about 5 hours. So they were born alive, and it was funny because they were moving, you know, when they came out. So when they handed them to me, they were moving. It was really beautiful and really sad because they were obviously strong. You know, that they were not going to make that. It was when the midwife came in.
Wow.
Yeah.
So were you able to have a memorial for them?
We didn't have a memorial. We had the girls cremated. Mm-hmm. So my partner and I just went to the funeral home. The funeral director was really kind and actually came to the hospital that Thursday to pick them up. And that was like the hardest day of my life. Mm-hmm. But she was very kind, and she was very just gentle and seemed to be really respectful about what was going on. So it was just my partner and I that went to the crematory. And yeah, and then we had their ashes in a small urn that the funeral director gave us. I kept them. I wanted them to be together. They're in the same urn. And then my partner and I have cremation jewelry that has some of their ashes in it.
Awesome. I always ask that question because some people may not be able to afford to do anything for their babies, or, you know, sometimes we're in a fog and in a funk during that time that we don't even know that we can do anything.
Right.
So, you know, that's awesome that you all were able to go through that process, and you do have the ashes, and it's just a memory of them that you can keep with you. So that's a blessing for sure.
It is. The hospital was really good about giving us resources. The only thing that I would change about that experience is that I don't think that the parents should have to kind of call around to find out about the services. Like, so they hand you a paper with a lot of these resources, but you have to call all the funeral homes. Mm-hmm. And that's not fun to then call and explain what happened 3 and 4 times.
Exactly.
You know? So that was not a fun thing. But like I said, once I actually got connected with the place, that was really helpful. And the funeral home, actually, they didn't charge us for any of the services. So apparently they do that sometimes for small babies or just babies, period. I think they will basically waive the fee for all that. So that was really, really helpful.
It is. That definitely is helpful. And there's so many different foundations out there that do help offset the cost of funeral expenses for small babies and infants, for sure, that are out there. And I'll make sure I link to some of my favorite ones in the description notes and in the show notes for you all who are interested, are there any that are out there. So take us back on how you and your partner dealt with your grief after you've gone through the whole IUIs, this one IVF cycle, and you get to, you know, you're almost halfway through your pregnancy and you lose your babies. How did you all deal with your grief, and how did you all go through healing individually and then collectively as a couple?
Sure. I mean, it was hard. I gotta be honest with you. I mean, we still have our moments. It wasn't that long ago. Our girls were born June 7th, 2017. So it's only been, 8-9 months or so, coming up on a year, and which feels crazy that it's coming up on a year soon. Yeah, we still have our moments. I think we both kind of threw ourselves into some work stuff and some vision boarding stuff that we had planned for ourselves. One of the things that I really felt was that I didn't want the loss of the girls to be in vain. Things that I had felt motivated to do slightly before them, that I felt even more, I had more direction around. So like my blog is definitely something that was, I've been thinking about doing a blog anyway. And to make it about Black women turning the loss, and my experience with that was really because of them, So it was kind of like, okay, you have this time, you have this opportunity, like to get it started. So we felt kind of task oriented in a way where we kind of focus on that stuff, just to be practical and to try and slightly get out of that was going on. But also we went to therapy, and we still are in couples therapy for grief, just dealing with grief and loss stuff, because it's rough. It's a very, very rough thing. Like, I know a lot of times a lot of relationships don't survive loss of children. For us, really important to turn to each other and support each other and allow space for each other. So just kind of talk about how we were feeling and if we were frustrated or if we were angry, all of that, and to keep talking to each other. So we talked a lot about what we were feeling. We're going to literally and figuratively, we're going to hold hands and we're going to walk through this journey. And we recognize that it's not just a destination. This is all a process. And we just allow for it to take its time. Some days we're wonderful and we're a lot better, and some days not so much. Like, that happens. And in our process, now, that was super triggering. There was just a lot, but we just try and keep be honest that we talk to each other, and I blog, we go to therapy, we did some support groups as well. And the virtual ones we found a little bit more helpful than the in-person ones, but we still went. So that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook and 30-day free download by visiting audibletrial.com/Erica. I have been loving Audible. Most recently, I listened to Angie Thomas's The Hate U Give and Darnell L. Moore's No Ashes in the Fire. If you love listening to audiobooks or are curious about what an audiobook can do to enhance your driving experience or your workout experience, visit audibletrial.com/Erica for more information. So let's talk about this bundle of joy that you're holding. So tell us about your journey to adoption and how you and your partner made the decision to adopt after your loss of your twins.
Okay, so honestly, this really, really, really kind of fell in our lap. But we tried again twice with IVF.
Oh.
We didn't go to the full process of implantation, embryo transfer, but in my body just did not make as many eggs or any eggs that could be transferred. We got genetic testing, just to be clear, the embryos they were able to test actually had a lot of abnormalities. So we were devastated. My partner actually got a call from a few degrees of separation. We had talked about adoption in the past, but not as something to do at the forefront. We talked about, kind of biologically having kids and then adopting later. And so, yeah, it was not something that was the forefront of our mind at all. But when the situation kind of presented itself, we were both like, how crazy is it this birth parent would be asking for a couple so specific that is like just like us, and we're not assigned, like the agency didn't have a couple that was like us, like nothing was in place. After some talking and some figuring some things out, we were like, I feel like this is kind of like a divine intervention or something. Like, I feel like I feel like this little boy is for the universe, and our girls or somebody is like, hey, you said you want to be parents? Like, here you go. So we decided to move forward with that. And, you know, it's a process, and there's still a replication period that we have to wait because he was just born. But yeah, so we brought him home. I think this week we came home with our son. And it's been like a month and a few weeks since we even found out or even decided to go on this path. So it kind of came out of nowhere, but obviously it was supposed to happen in some way. So
yeah. Wow, that is awesome. So tell us about how you all prepared for it. Did you all have everything you needed? Did y'all have a shower? How did that process go?
Girl, no, we didn't have anything. We didn't have anything because I was earlier, you know, with the girls, with Aviva and Jora, I was only 4 months. So we had just at that point started to, I hadn't even made an announcement to everyone that I was pregnant yet.
Oh.
Like so some people knew I was pregnant. Some like very close people knew I was pregnant, but most people didn't. So the only thing that we had for Aviva and Jora was a pregnancy pillow, that big body pillow. Mm-hmm. It was like an arch or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that we had. So we didn't have anything. And in a month, it was like, okay, this baby's due, so you need to get on your P's and Q's and get everything. So we did a few things. One, we kind of bit the bullet, which was a struggle for us to decide to do, but we actually did a GoFundMe. I do not like asking people for money. I'm kind of like a very, I don't know, I'm a pretty independent person, so I struggle a little bit with kind of putting out a lot of personal business like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of like, we are going to need some support.
Right.
You know, so we had some people donate, which was really, really, really helpful, though it wasn't the full cost of the adoption, because private adoption is expensive. You know, people think that adoption is free, they think about foster care, but private adoption is not free at all. Like, at all, but it's still five figures.
Yes.
So there, we also were able to transfer some of the money that we were using for IVF. In terms of actual things that we got, we bought a couple of things, but all connected with this really great group. It's actually on Facebook. And between that group and between some friends and family and our jobs, we have everything we need in abundance. Like, we had to give away stuff. It's really amazing. Like, that swing that you just saw on this little video, mm-hmm. that somebody gave that to us. And that swing was like $180. That somebody gave that to us. You know, people gave, like, we have an extra car seat. We've got bottle cleaners. And we got the stuff that we got for free as gifts or as donations of community exchange, which was really wonderful. The village came through strong. One of my friends sent us this huge box of little boy clothes and like a wipes warmer and a coat sweeper and extra bottles, like just like all this stuff. And my friend lives out in Missouri, so far away, but just she was like, here, we come together, we're friends, this is coming from abundance, so here. And we just feel so grateful. I mean, so, so, so grateful. We have had to turn things down. When people are like, do you need anything? We're like, actually, no. Maybe it's diapers. Like, you can give us that. Anyways, we have some kind of a shower and stuff later on. Once the adoption, everything is final, then we'll need, like, bigger stuff. But we have clothes up to a year in terms of sizes. He's good.
The story just reminds me of just being ready, or being ready to receive what God has for you, even though you may not have been ready for it. You were ready. You know, he was preparing you throughout this whole journey to actually receive this blessing that you have. And then as much as you didn't have any other physical things, God provided for you in an abundance, you know. It's amazing.
It really is. And you know, I'm not a super religious person, but I know, like, as you have a spiritual base that mm-hmm. I believe in, and my partner grew up in the church, also a spiritual base, and we both have kept saying, like, there was no other way to describe this besides divine. Like, it, the way that this happened is so crazy to me, and I still think that, you know, in some way my girls had a hand in this. Like, I just feel like I can see their little faces, like, smiling down, saying, mommy, like, this was for you. You know, it was hard, but like, this was why, you know, this was for you. This is what needed to happen. And I can't say that we would have been in this position had the girls been here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without at all, we may not have even met the person that called us about it. So so everything kind of happens for a reason. And though it's tough, and I still struggle, and I still have my days when I cry and I miss my girl so much, it's like, this I feel like this was all orchestrated.
It was. It definitely was orchestrated. It's nothing. No, you can say it. It was nothing but. It's nothing but because you are holding your precious little boy in your hand, and God is the manifestation of all of those prayers, all of that long journey. So I'm overjoyed for you, and this story definitely warms my heart for sure. Take us back to some resources that you and your partner use. You mentioned a support group. Any other resources that are out there that you all use just on your healing and grief journey?
Yeah, so the in-person support group that we went to, they're actually all over the country, I believe, but they're called Unite. So if you look up perinatal loss or infant and child loss, there's a group called Unite, UNITE, and they have groups all over the country in different areas. There's like a ton of them in the city that we live in as well. So, but I know that it's not just in Pennsylvania, so it's kind of all over the place. That was kind of helpful as well, just being in the same room with other women and other families who have experienced something similar to us. Online, there are, you know, there's a ton of, you know, closed Facebook groups that are for perinatal loss. I have a perinatal loss support group for Black Angel Moms that is also a closed group on Facebook. But there is a group that is specifically for couples and parents who have experienced PPROM that we went through. I can't remember the exact name of the group, but if you put in PPROM into like your search on your Facebook, you can find that group. And that's all couples, so it's not just moms. It's everybody who's experienced that. Similar to that, that other group, Still Mothers, is a pretty good resource as well. And grandparents, so my mom actually joined just because she, you know, we lost our babies, but my mom also lost her grandbabies, her first grandbaby. Mm-hmm. So that was helpful. Other than that, the only thing that we did was therapy. So I would just say, you know, really, really search, look around, go on Psych Today, go on whatever your local therapy resource group is, Black Therapists Rock or Therapy for Black Girls. Mm-hmm. It's a directory of Black women therapists that are out here doing this work. I mean, everywhere. So, and there's perinatal support groups and maternal mental health support groups that are all over the place. So please do some research. Postpartum Support International is a group as well that I'm affiliated with. And that's an organization, obviously, but they have a lot of different supportive stuff out as well. Awesome. But yeah, the therapy and the support groups and whatever can help you if you are partnered, whatever can help you and your partner continue to talk to each other and support each other and create space for each other is really going to be key to the healing. I also had taken this was partially professionally and also to help me deal a little bit with my grief. There is I don't know if you guys have heard of David Kessler, but he's like a grief specialist. He did a lot of work with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who did the whole stages of grief, but he does, his website, grief.com, has resources and trainings and workshops and stuff that are all virtual that really also helped to give me some tools to help me process some of the stuff that I was going through.
Awesome. Those are all great resources, and I'll make sure I link those in the description box and the show notes. So how is your family doing now that you have this bundle of joy? You know, are they all elated as well?
Yeah, everybody's really excited. I think we were all a little on pins and needles, obviously, because adoption is, nothing is final until it's final. That's always a stressor. And then because we all experience this loss, like they all know how bad and knew how bad I really wanted children. And they all saw me go through and saw me and my partner go through this loss. So they were all just really like, oh, we are pulling for y'all. We want this to really work out. So once we sent pictures around, everybody was like, oh, yay! Like, you know, just like really, really excited. So people are really happy for us and really supportive, and everybody wants to come visit, you know.
Awesome. So what encouraging words can you leave with the mom that's out there who's been through very similar experience to you, gone through IUIs, gone through IVF, and they're still waiting on their baby?
I mean, I would really say don't try not to give up. It is difficult, I know, to keep going on this journey, but if you have an idea in your head about what you want, talk with your doctor, do as many things as you can do for yourself physically get your body in a condition that can optimize fertility, go to therapy. You know, I'm a therapist, so I know I'm a little bit like kind of plugging that, but I think it's really important for us, for pretty much everybody to go to therapy. But definitely if you're in this kind of stressful, high intensity situation, for you to have a space where you can talk with somebody about what you're going through. And be kind to yourself. I feel like it's so easy to be down on yourself in this process. It's so easy to think, you know, what's going on with my body? What's going on with my partner's body? Why am I not a woman? Am I less than a woman? Like, there's so many feelings that come up. And I just really encourage you to try and be as kind to yourself as you can be and figure out whatever your coping skills are. If it's journaling, if it's running, if it's exercising, if it's dancing, whatever. Like, just figure out those things and try and do them as often as possible. And just know that it's a process. And that some days are going to be great and some days are not going to be great. And that's okay. It's all, like, okay, because it's all part of the process. And I think the last thing would be, and this was something I have to say to myself, and I'm still working on, is that, you know, your blessings, they might not look how you think they're going to look right away. You know, I did not expect to be my age and just now having my first son that did not come from my body. Like, I did not expect that at all, right? So, And if you have a very, like, rigid mindset about it has to be this way all the time, sometimes fertility stuff throws it for a loop. It really does. And it's not easy. I mean, I really just empathize. I don't have, like, an answer fully like, you know, how to deal with that, because I still deal with it for myself. We're still going to try again, but obviously I still have my feelings about, you know, what happens and whether it is going to work. Am I ever going to be pregnant again in that way? So, yeah, so it's just a process. Just be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your partner, because they're in this with you, too. They've gone through stuff, too. And even though they may not have carried, they're going through it. They see you. At minimum, they see you and they see your pain. And that's a lot. So be kind. Be kind. Love on yourself. Love on you.
I love that. So where can we find you on social, your social media handles and your blog?
Okay. So I'm on Twitter and on Instagram at Janae. So it's at Janae HJ. It's JEANAE. HJ, so it's just my last name initials. I don't have, like, a public Facebook page right now, but I'm working on that, so I'll get on that in a second. And my blog is called blackangelmom.com, and that's exactly all one word. Doesn't matter what case, but blackangelmom.com. The blog has a, you know, little social media icon linked to my Twitter and to my Instagram page, and also to the closed Facebook group for Black Angel Parents. You can definitely click on that link if you would like to be part of that group, and you have to answer a couple questions to keep it a closed and safe space for the people that are part of it. Yeah, it's a space that is for Black people, Black parents going through this kind of stuff. That's one of the things that I feel like I didn't find, or I had a harder time finding when I was looking at the stuff that I was involved in. Really, there was hardly anyone who looked like me. Okay, this is a problem, because it's a very common thing. 1 in 4, you know, a lot of people have this kind of experience. So where we at? Yeah. You know, so I wanted to create a space for that. So that's there. So definitely feel free to check out the blog and check out the closed Facebook group if you would like as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Janae, for being on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
This story has blessed me. It's given me hope for adoption.
If you ever want to talk about it, I mean, I'm here.
Awesome. I'm here. Thank you again.
Right.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I pray that this show was inspirational and a blessing to you. For show notes, visit ericaandmcafee.com/podcast. Please join us in our offline discussions and our private Facebook group by going to sistersinloss.com. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, please rate and subscribe to us and leave us a 5-star review. I pray that you all have a blessed week. Keep the faith, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.